Hello, welcome back to the Redundant Rufus podcast. It's been a while. Last year, the early last year, the tone of my podcast became a little more serious, a little more raw. Obviously, in any podcast there's or any recording there's going to be editing. And some of the episodes I chose not to because I wanted it to just be pure Rufus. Which you got. And but before I continue, if you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do so at any and all podcasting outlets except for Apple, iTunes. They're giving me issues still, but I'm giving up on them. Anyway, so subscribe. I have dozens of other podcasts that you can check out talking about paranormal stuff, history stuff, Tolkien related things, and some randos in there. But going back to my content from this past year. So the intent of my podcast was just to share things that I find enjoyable to me. Sharing personal experiences, being more open, especially regarding mental health. And not to use that as a crutch, but it has, the past 6 months have been the worst. So mental health stuff really started 3 or 4 years ago, and it escalated into some pretty serious consequences for myself and my family and my employee. I've been unemployed for, it'll be a year this May. And I still, am not happy with that. I'm not happy with that outcome, that because of quote unquote restructuring, I was let go, especially coming off of medical leave. But my mental health was most certainly affected by my job. It was never the cause of it. It just wasn't a healthy space for me to be in. Now, everyone has mental health concerns of many shapes and sizes, to a high degree, to a low degree, but we all have our inner demons. We all have some semblance of trauma or needing to just find an outlet, an escape from what we've been dealing with. And my issue was that I was dealing with it internally. I'm an introvert and don't like sharing because it makes me, I don't like the word vulnerable. It just, I'm very careful who I'm open with, even family, admittedly, because it's still me and I don't like being open to scrutiny or questions, even if it comes from the heart. And extending that helpful hand to me, it's that triggers shame and embarrassment and anger. And really, the theme of my mental health the past 6 months has been anger related. So sure, there's the constant insomnia, there's the constant panic disorders, and there's my lovely acid reflux. Not mental health related, but still annoying. Just heightened social anxiety, but it's mainly been the depression. But everything that had been going on with me was channeling through anger and impatience and irrational thoughts and behaviors, procrastination. And recently, it's just been more anger. And so, obviously, my medication has been modified to help me combat that anger and lowering my blood pressure, just trying to help me have a clearer head, more even. And it hasn't been easy. And again, the better part of my life, I've worked. And being in a position where I can't right now,
I really don't like it. And that's produced an immense amount of anger. Oh, you could throw in shame, absolutely. And the important thing is that you don't dwell on those negative feelings because they're not productive for anybody. But it has nonetheless produced a lot of anger. Anger at myself. And naturally, the human condition suggests that you should loop in other people. Loop in experiences. But the fact of the matter is that this is a turning point for me. It's a reevaluation of what in the hell am I supposed to be doing? Because I'll be candid here. If you listen to my podcast, I talked about my first two jobs and then my proselyting mission. So I worked for, I delivered newspapers for 3 years. I worked at McDonald's for 4 years. I served a 2-year proselyting mission. I was a data contractor for almost 3 years. And then from 2010 to this past May, I worked as a data processor, a document quality control specialist, customer support related roles. So that's been my experience, my work experience. It's mainly been jobs that allow me to get to a place I need to be or I'd like to be. For supporting myself, my personal ambitions, buying things I wanted, being financially independent, to preparing for a mission, and then to preparing to support a family and support a family. That has been my attitude. And mixed with that, I spent a couple years at a community college. I changed my degree there like 4 times, which is normal for any college, for many college students. I went to a state university for a couple of years, changed my major there a couple of times, and then I went to a completely online university where I majored in business, all the while working for a life science company, cloud software company, and not ever feeling truly committed to the company vision, to its goals, just focusing on doing my best, being punctual, being helpful, going above and beyond at times, and just, you know, contributing to something greater than me. And at the, you know, and the byproduct was I was able to have good benefits and provide for myself and my family. All very good motivators, righteous ones, if you will. But I was lying to myself, thinking that I could continue with just those very important things in mind. That those are my driving forces. That was my intent, was to provide and have good benefits and workplace flexibility. But eventually it was coming to a head. It became a drain, my job was. It was becoming redundant. And I'm not going to get into anything more than that because there's many layers. But regardless, you know, being left without a job was certainly different. I wasn't the only one in my company to lose the job, but I felt a bit lost, not very angry about how, because, you know, economic reasons, our company wasn't the only one hit, but needless to say, I was able to get a nice severance package, which was a sigh of relief for a period of time. I didn't know I was eligible for one, and that was for me being ignorant. But what I'm getting at is I was in a headspace, a different one, mental health issues were already impacting my job, and they had for years, and it was affecting my family, and I've gone into this in my previous episodes. But I was changing. Now, you can have any job or any phase of your life where there's a transition period. So, for example, after serving my proselyting mission, I came home and my parents allowed me to just get some R&R for a couple of weeks, get reacclimated to society before I, you know, living at home, I needed to look for a job. And the job I had wasn't, I wasn't breaking rocks, but it was a good transition from what I was doing. And it was helpful. And kind of like with having a relationship, with courting someone, you get to know each other and share your feelings, your hopes and dreams, and you start making goals together, and then you make the commitment for, you know, being engaged, to be married, and so obviously that's a transition. It looks a little different for everyone, but, you know, where you're going to live, you know, how you're going to support each other, you're going to have kids, and then you get married and put all those things into effect. And it doesn't always work out the best, but that's relationship. That's change. It's the transition doesn't have to be perfect, but it's admittedly a frightful time because you're stepping into a phase that's you're unfamiliar with. So going back to this past year, I felt I was in this new transition, and this transition was incredibly daunting. I didn't know what necessarily to expect, and I'm still along that same vein. I don't know. I'm not wholly sure what the future holds for me. Like anybody, we can be certain on some things, but ultimately it's left to the universe and how life's going to pan out for you. I'm going to pause for a few seconds because you may have noticed the sound quality have changed. I think it went down a little bit because my podcast equipment stopped functioning, so I'm having to use a little portable microphone, so appreciate your patience. Now, obviously, there's preparation involved. You can prepare against the future. I'm not discounting that at all, nor devaluing its importance. But what I'm getting at is, when you've had a mindset or a method to the madness, if you will, or just the frame of mind and behaviors that drive you each day to get out of bed and to be productive, when that has been effectively taken away from you, the rug's been pulled out from under your feet and you fall back on your butt and your head hurts, that's what it felt like. And you can use that, you can compare that with many life traumas or ills or misfortunes. It really gets you by surprise and it really changes your reality. And so my reality became that of someone who was unemployed. I was unemployable. I was having to get constant medical treatment, having to take half a dozen prescriptions, and trying to make sense of this new reality while trying to push myself to literally get out of bed in the morning, having a reason to push through each hour of the day, and ultimately having reason to lay my head and rest in the evening. And that's obviously an ongoing struggle. Admittedly, doing this podcast, speaking to you, even though I can't see you, it's helpful. And I felt like I had a good track with that this past couple of years. But life happens and, you excuse yourself, become neglectful. And I just went off the bandwagon, so to speak, from doing this podcast. So for any of you who've been biting at the bit, waiting for Rufus to come back. Well, I'm back. One episode at a time. I just wanted to give context, not a pity party. It's just being candid with my viewers, my subscribers, just of where I've been. And if this is something you're not interested in, then you know, I'm sorry. I'll get into more interesting, gripping stuff at some point. But for now, I feel I just need to be candid. So all this turned into anger. And that's what I'm dealing with. And obviously, anger fuels the panic attacks. Anger fuels the depression. Anger fuels, as I had an episode about, the voices in my head. I was taking medication that was producing auditory hallucinations. Now, those are still there, just not as strong. But, you know, it's so easy for us to retreat and convince ourselves, listening to that douchebag of a voice in our head that makes us or influences us so heavily that we're almost beholden to it. We've given it so much space, it's paid rent in our heads for such a long time that we almost just default to it because it feels good. But ultimately, it doesn't feel good because you have to be aware of its effects around you and also of your physical person, just your demeanor, your behaviors, the tone of your words. It's very messy. And I don't consider myself to be an angry person. I consider myself to be a very patient person, very thoughtful, a listener, an observer. I try to be funny, not to throw my father under the bus, but I kind of have his humor, which is very dry, and I'm sure you've gotten that already. But I don't consider myself to be angry. I find it antithetical to me. I find it very, it's not me. But there's been a voice that's been in my head for decades that was influenced or birthed from certain trauma or experiences, and I fed it a lot. And something that my therapist encourages me to be more aware of is that the environment that I was in years ago is not the same as now. And so obviously getting my head out of the past is not an easy thing. But for all intents and purposes, going back to employment, it's made me unemployable for the time being. Now, I'm ever appreciative of the concern of others and the prayers of others and the thoughts that even for me, that someone's thinking about me. And it's a bit humbling to think about because of how much I focused on myself and trying to handle things on my own, not wanting other people's help, or even accepting it. But knowing that there are people out there willing to listen to you, to help you, it's such a game changer. In this past year, I've endeavored to let people in. It's incredibly difficult, yet at the same time, it's incredibly cathartic. It's relief, and it's always helpful to have someone close to you, whether that's a partner or a parent, sibling, or a friend, whomever, a role model. You need to find them. Find the person or persons that help you to feel safe being open, being candid. Again, I don't like vulnerability. I'm not a fan of that word. Just being open. opening yourself to help, helpful counsel. So you're not working, you're not applying anywhere, so what the hell are you doing, John? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. So it's a plan that I've made with my medical professionals. I go off a lot of what they suggest to me because they're much smarter than I am in regards to mental health and various disorders, and so I take their counsel very seriously. At the same time, I feel like I know myself well enough to know what my capacity is, to know what my limits are. And coming to grips to that, knowing my current threshold, my limits, are not the same as they were 2, 5, 10, 20 years ago. They are very different now. My mindset, my life is very different from how it was 5 years ago, 10, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I was in elementary school. That's weird. But regardless, it's a whole different mindset. And how I dealt with stress or problems or adversity not very long ago, it's needed to be modified. And all of these changes, all of these expected life changes or occurrences, I've been admittedly angry about, because I constantly going back to, how could I be this way? Why am I still like this? This is what I was capable of doing. This is what I did. I was a high valued employee in my previous company. Where did that go? And I know I asked a why question. Why questions aren't, they're emotional. They're not rational based questions. They don't help you go anywhere. But you have to be willing to swallow that very hard pill that sometimes in life, or there may be a point in everyone's life that's a transition from the old to the new. And that's what I've felt. That's what I've been counseled, that this is a period of time that's going to determine the rest of my life. Mental health often is your old self wanting to stay where it is, digging in its heels, when you actually need to move forward in a direction that is healthy and beneficial. It's different, it's a change, but it's needful. And this transition period is needful for me. So again, what do I do with my time? Well, you're listening to one. Obviously, there's some, you know, activities I do during the day. But one of the major things I've been doing has been writing. Now, writing in a journal is always helpful, especially as you're enduring experiences or have deep feelings on something. It's good to write them down, especially if you have a therapy session. You can say, yes, this is what happened, or this is how I felt during this occurrence or this episode. And it's, instead of being like, which is usually how I am. So I have to take my own advice on that. Anyway, but writing has been very relieving. Now, I can share that there's a few books I've been working on. One in particular is A Labor of Love that involves a work done by my late mother. One involves memoirs from my grandfather, and another involves a book that's been on my mind for the better part of a decade, and I just felt like I needed to start writing it down. And so these three projects are driving forces, not the only ones, but driving forces for the future, that engaging in these projects will necessarily guide me to that next step in life, whatever it is. But it's productive, it's healthy, and it really helps me to utilize my technical writing experience and just overall work experience of being able to communicate in print. So I'll end it with that. I could go on and on, but I won't. I guess whatever stage of mental health you're dealing with it, or maintenance, recovery, what have you, there are things that that add value to our day, add value to our lives, something to hold on to as you're going through each day. Now, do I write every day? No. I can't stand my depression, but it's there, and I have to deal with that, and panic, and my crappy sleep from insomnia. I mean, we all have some semblance of anxiety, some more than others, but there's still things I'm working on. However, writing is the one thing at this current point in time that's been helpful. And I do strongly feel that that's the direction for the time being that I'm supposed to go. And that'll be the gateway into the next phase of my life. Now, every day is different. Every morning and afternoon and evening is different. But I'm saying to you, I'm still very hopeful. And my goal only is to be in a place that I can once again provide for my family and be that example to them, especially to my precious children, that daddy is okay and that he's going to get better. That's all for this episode. I appreciate you listening this far to my ramblings. As always, I will tell you I have a lot of paranormal content and things regarding Tolkien. So expect that in the near future. And I'll talk to you next time. Take care.